You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for our DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements. Good morning, Sean, and welcome back.
Good morning. Yeah, sun is out.
Yes, did you have a good break?
We had a good break, but came back to crazy chaos.
Yes.
So lots of work to be done, and I think people have woken up and want to get the year started.
Yes. Yeah. So this morning we've got questions and answers, but before we get going, we need to put it out to our listeners. This is your chance to ask questions on 072-447-8044. So, Sean, I have the first question for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
It sounds like I'm doing the brain teasers. Are you ready? Sean, what is the distance my neighbor can build from our boundary wall?
Difficult question, because every area, normally you would follow your plan, start looking at your plan, and on the plan it would stipulate and show you your building lines.
Yes.
And building lines fall within your property and how far you're allowed to extend across to your neighbor. Where you share a wall or fence with the neighbor, there's normally a at least a 1 meter or 1.5 meter building line on that. Depending on what you're building, you can get special requests or leeways to build on the boundary. So say your garage wall could then be part of the boundary that's shared between you and the neighbor. So that would have to be done through your architect. And as I say, different areas require different building lines. You can normally tell when you look down the road of and you look where the houses are positioned, especially on the road facing the front. You can normally see where the building line is. All your houses are almost in a line. But yeah, as I said, there you can get special requests if your neighbors all sign permission for that, and they're happy that you can encroach on that building line. Then you can do that. But the council normally has their regulations on different areas.
So if you haven't got a good relationship with your neighbor, that might be a tad difficult.
You should always have a good good relationship with that neighbor.
Yes, I agree.
Start baking cookies and deliver some wine. Yeah.
There we go. The second question. Must we have a fire door from the garage to the main house?
A strict rule, yes. Always when your garage is attached to the house.
Yes.
If your garage is separate to the house, freestanding, then you don't need a fire door. It's literally if you drive in your garage, walk through the garage into your house is where the fire door is required.
All right. And that's a specialized door, I presume.
It has to come certified. Be careful what door you buy, because a lot of the hardware shops aren't selling the correct rated door. You get half an hour rating, hour and a half. Something people forget, and which you guys, people must look into, is that your door frame has to be fire resistant.
Oh.
There's no point having a timber door frame that will last 10 seconds and burns out when you have a solid fire door.
Yeah, should this not be then purchased at a specialized
You would have to pre-order. Even a proper fire door would be pre-ordered. It's not something that's normally off the shelf. So you can go speak to your suppliers and merchants and see. And on your plan, it should state the kind of rating they're after. If you have a steel door frame, which is that's fine. A steel door frame would be fine. But when you're using a timber door frame, which a lot of the new houses are using, the frame itself must be fire rated.
Yeah. And do you need to get someone to do that, or can we do it ourselves?
Well, your carpenter would normally, the builder or the carpenter would be fitting the frame for you and the door, you know, so.
Okay. Now, drywalling, how do I make it soundproof or fireproof?
Yes, so obviously a drywall is basically, you can, there's two ways of doing a drywall. You either do a timber frame, which is your timber studs and noggins and timber joists. That get boarded up. You have we call it a rhino board, or it's a board that gets put onto the actual wall itself, and then we normally skim the board. If you leave insulation out of that, it's not going to be very soundproof. The other option is a metal, the steel framework, which is also a quicker and slightly cheaper option to the timber. It's not as solid as the timber structure, but on both walls there's a cavity between the board, the external boards. You have a board on the inside and a board on the outside. So on the inside cavity is where you need to insulate for sound. You can use high-density foam, which is like polystyrene, highly compressed foam, which will repel. There's a few ways of soundproofing. You get a high-density foam, which is your polystyrene spray foam, polyurethane spray foam, sorry. And then you get your cloth. You get a cloth option as well, which is your insulation isotherm product.
How do you use the spray foam?
You would board the one side closed, yes. And then you would spray. Get your foam sprayed. It's industrial. You're not on a small wall. You can maybe go buy the spray cans and try and use that. But ideally, it's industrial foam that you want to use. And you would then spray that foam in the cavity, wait for it to dry, and then you would clear it for the board on the external. But generally, people use the high-density polystyrene and the isotherm products or similar that would give you some noise reduction.
Yes. Yeah. So it's quite a procedure.
It is a procedure, yeah. But if you've got a room that you don't want, you know, noise to,
yes.
Yeah, then it's helpful. Right.
Now, do we need a building plans before erecting a wooden fence on the street side of our property?
Any boundary walls would need a plan, whether it be timber or brick or steel, some form of plan. The council wants to make sure that you're not encroaching on council land. So this is where they want to see where your pegs of your existing plot is, or your boundaries, so they can make sure that you're not encroaching. If you've had a wall there before, if there was a light fence or foundations on that, then there's no need for plan. You can just put up a timber fence. They get more strict on a solid brick wall, because there we have to do solid foundations right through. So they would want to see a plan. There are issues with height, because some areas regulate how high your fencing can be, your boundary walls and things like that. So that's where plans come in.
Right. And then also, please guide me on how do I get a plan.
On a fence, and you should look for a draftsman. I wouldn't think you need to use a highly skilled architect for that kind of thing. Find yourself someone that's in the trade and get a draftsman to draw you up your boundary walls and fence and some detail on it. It just helps the builder when he needs to give you a quote. And you can look at your different options. You get your timber fence, you get steel, the wire fence, clear view. There's a few that steel fencing options. And then you obviously get your fibrecrete, and then obviously you got your foundation and brick walls.
Yeah. Right. So would the draftsman take your plans to the council, or do we have to do it?
Ideally, you want to get a draftsman who takes it through council for you. So he would meet with you discuss what you want for security and what's allowed in the area. And then you can decide on what fence to go ahead with. Yeah.
And there's also obviously a cost for this.
Of course. A draftsman would be obviously a lot cheaper than a proper architect. But even a proper architect, if you negotiate, they normally have a special rate for lighter stuff as opposed to building a whole house. Yeah.
Okay. Then I have lots of driveway space. I would like to build a tandem carport. What would be required? Guide me, please, step by step.
So, again, it starts with your architect or draftsman, someone that's going to be able to draw a clear plan for you. A lot of people just get the drawing and then they forget to add in the electrical layout or plumbing requirements. So the more detail you give the builder to quote on, the better. So architect, there could be engineering involved. So make sure on every project now, an engineer has to be signing off that project, whether it be your slab, your foundation, roofing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because this one's got an existing driveway, just wants to make a
tandem. See, an existing driveway, when you start building a garage or a flat on existing driveway, you still have to excavate and you would have to do a proper slab, concrete slab to get a level area, and there's a process there. And obviously where the walls are going, you're going to have to do foundations.
All right, so they went to step-by-step there. We'll take a music break after this.
Okay. Yes. So, the builder will be able to quote on proper plans and it's make sure an engineer is involved to monitor and sign off the project. And that should be fairly straightforward. So,
So that is your laying your foundation.
Your foundation, and then you would compact your floor area and throw a slab, and then you can build on top and finish off your walls and then the roofing and whatever else is required.
And that also requires electrician and plumb and all that goes with it?
Yes, so if there's electrics involved, make sure you have a qualified electrician. Don't try and use guys that don't have papers. And if there's plumbing, you have to have a plumbing certified plumber. The days of using plumbers that haven't got papers you have to have a plumbing certificate, electrical certificate. Make sure your builder's got at least a NHBRC, he's registered builder, because that could also come and bite you later if it wasn't done by a registered builder.
And they also want to know, is it costly?
Everything's costly in the building trade now. Things have just shot through the roof. Materials, our labor's also gone up. So people, a lot of people are getting fright when they see the quotes come in now. But you just have to go look at your go buy a few items at the hardware shop. Yeah,
and like you said, get a reputable builder than just getting someone that...
Well, if you're going to spend that money... I get some people don't have that money, so they look for cheaper options to find the guy off the street and hope for the best. But you're spending a lot of money on materials now, and if the council comes or the NHBRC walks on there, they can tell you to break that house down.
Can they make you take it down?
They can tell you to knock it down. If the correct procedures weren't done, and materials, if the wrong materials were used...
So they don't give you grace to say, well, I'll give you 7 or 14 days, go and sort it out. They just say demolish.
If you have a registered builder, NHBRC registered builder, then it's fine. They're not going to investigate.
Okay.
If you have a guy off the street and he's not doing the proper brick force, the proper butterfly ties, there's lots involved in the methods, correct methods. They can tell you to cease work, and I've seen them do it, and also they can tell you to knock it down. Yeah.
If you've just tuned in, good morning, goeiemôre, and welcome. We are busy with the DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements, and it's questions and answers. Are you ready, Sean? Here we go. How do I sort out dripping taps myself without needing to get a plumber?
Get a plumber.
Yeah. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
You know, even we as builders, we try and fiddle with these taps and we try and then it just makes the problem worse. You can, if you have a bit of savvy, especially garden taps, they normally have a black rubber washer.
Yes.
So if you turn the mains off on the house, that if all the water's off, you can open that up and normally take the cylinder to your local merchant, plumbing merchant. They'll either give you a new cylinder that goes in, or it could just be the rubber seal.
Yeah.
It gets more complicated inside the house. Often a lot of taps are brought in from Europe. They don't have any of the spares that you need. So in the worst case, you'd have to actually swap out the tap for a new tap. But Cobra has, locally based Cobra and Hans Grohe, a few of the reputable names, they have, yes, a lot of spares, and so you should be able to replace washers and seals and the inserts, yeah.
All right. What is cheaper, timber frame or brick, and what is the average building cost on this? Because this should be quite costly.
Yeah, people have the idea that timber frame is cheaper, and when you hand over the keys on either timber or a brick house, there's not much in it. The only difference you're going to get on a timber frame is it goes fairly quickly, the initial stage, but the finishing takes a lot more time. And the other issue with timber is you're not using general labor or workers. They're all skilled or semi-skilled or carpenters.
Yes.
And they come at a higher cost. So that time that you're saving, you might be losing in a high wage, high labor cost. And there's different layers to a timber frame. You got your timber structure that has to be done properly. Again, make sure you use a reputable builder, and it has to be signed off, NHBRC. There's also a timber frame association, which I would make contact with if you are doing a timber frame.
Do they then come on site as well?
They can assist, and often they have their own builders, timber builders, who are registered with them. So they know all the regulations and, yes, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and what conforms. Because, you can, if it's not done properly, a timber frame can be a nightmare. You got to make sure it's properly wrapped and sealed. That's why there's so many layers to a timber frame. And the cladding that you use outside is either NewTek Handy Plank, which is a cement-based compound. You can go timber, external timber, which we then over the years will require a lot of maintenance, continuous maintenance.
Yes.
So I would suggest you go with the NewTek Handy Plank, which is... you can paint any color. Yeah, you can actually varnish it as well. So timber frame, you have a lot of labor involved and pricey labor. And there's a lot of time that goes into to make that watertight and prevent moisture. You don't want any moisture or water getting into that timber. And the other problem is timber has shot through the roof. The cost of timber now is outweighing brick and mortar.
Really?
You just go buy a length of timber at your timber merchant now. So timber's through the roof, all the hardware that you need with it, the bolts, the nuts, the screws, so it all adds up. And the other issue is a timber house does move, especially if you're looking at a double story. You get in high wind areas, say on the mountain in Fishhook or Simonstown, that wind will move that house and you are going to develop cracking, hairline cracking movement. The house and design does allow for that, but yeah, be prepared for hairline cracks and things to appear because there's movement. Your brick and mortar, you know, in this country, we're still blessed that it's still readily available. We got bricks available all over the place, and we have got some bricklayers, good bricklayers that are quick. Even with a brick and mortar house, you'll find the shell goes very quickly. The shell being the walls and the external, and then things start to slow down when the finishing, your plastering, your painting, things like that. But a lot more sturdy in the long run. solid, you can insulate better, and your labor is not as expensive. So, yeah.
So brick and mortar is the way to go.
In this country, I think we're still blessed enough to have to have an abundance of that, and we have the labor that is geared up for that.
Yes.
We don't have hundreds and hundreds of carpenters hanging around, so they like hen's teeth, and they charge you.
As you've mentioned before.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, so the next question is what you do best, I know. We want to build a house from scratch. Where does one start the process? Now, I know we have covered that quite a bit in the other questions with planning and all, but I know this is what you do regularly. And then also all that is involved, like mentioning engineers, etc.
Yeah, so a new house, the red tape involved is has increased. So, again, number one, if you are the client, make sure that you get a good architect and make sure he doesn't just draw you the house. Tell him you want an electrical plan. That's a full electrical plan. So it shows every single plug, light switch, light fitting. And then as builders, we send that through to our electrician. And he can give a accurate quote on what the client wants. And the same would apply to joinery. So a full layout of cupboards, built-in cupboards, kitchens. So that can also be flooring. You want a layout for flooring. A lot of these architects and guys, they just send in the basic because they don't want the hassle or stress. So they leave it to the builder to meet with the client. Now we got to now go through and figure out what you want, how many plugs, what you need to do here. That should all be done before the builder gets the plan.
So that's a discussion before you even put it down on paper.
There's a window and door schedule that we want. So all your windows, doors, electrical, plumbing, all your plumbing requirements have to be separate.
So what do? You call a meeting. Do you get them all together on the site or with the client? How do you?
So as a builder, we work with our preferred we call them subcontractors. So
yes.
Our preferred plumber, our preferred electrician, our preferred carpenters, and then all that input and information will be sent to different agents or suppliers.
Yes.
Roofing, people like roofing. And it just makes – you're going to get a much more accurate quote in return. So, again, make sure all these people are registered, have their own insurances in place – can sign off. The engineer is your biggest. The engineer is the man in charge. Make sure the builder gets on well with the engineer, because whatever the builder does has been instructed by the engineer. His name has to be the last signature on the build. So if the house collapses, it's not the builder, it's actually the engineer that takes responsibility.
So they've removed it now to the engineer.
The council used to have very good building inspectors.
Yes.
Over the years, the inspectors used to be the people coming to inspect your foundations.
Yeah.
And they were fairly skilled in what they were doing. The council doesn't have that anymore. So now these guys they just make sure that what's on paper is
what they see.
Is what they see. As far as the application or the way things are done, the building inspector has very little input. He wants to see that you have certificates for everything and everything is above board. But the engineer is the one who has to inspect every foundation, every wall, every support beam, roofing, everything. The whole house is owned by the engineer.
But then you know you're safe, and you know.
Well, as builders, we feel more confident because we are following instructions and
like you said, if you get on with them, you work step by step, and it's a lot easier.
I know exactly what my engineer requires of me, and find one you can get hold of, because they have a bad reputation of never been able to get hold of the engineer. So you got to have him on speed dial. Right.
I think we're going to find an engineer, and then the next meeting, let's get an engineer on, and that'll be interesting.
If we can find one. Yeah.
Well, Sean, time was running out. My word, time flies when we're having fun. Thank you so much, Sean, for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. And I know you're extremely busy. I loved the last one because I know that is exactly what you do. You build from scratch. So have a liquor afternoon. Bye.
Ciao.
You want to give out your number, Sean?
That's Anderson Improvements. That's 083-316-5752.
I nearly forgot that.
Yeah, back to work.
Back to work, Sean. Thank you. Bye.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive. Sunnydale.